Monday the 14th of May, Rabbi Yosef Gallenbauer, taking Trumas and Masses today.
Before we get down to the nitty-gritty of Trumas and Masses, I just want to dispel a myth. It is said that the giving Trumas and Masses here is a chumrah, because people believe, there are a lot of people who believe that there are banut meister things which lead to Yisrael. And that is a myth. I checked up, just to be absolutely sure, I checked up again last week, I called up Yisrael again, absolutely reliably, they don't claim to meister. This goes back to a question of about 60, 70 years ago, the time Moshe Grudzinski already wanted that they should meister, and the decision was not to, because they are relying on their yechidol, the Shittas HaBach, that things which leave Eretz Yisrael, which go, are exported, even if they are finished in Eretz Yisrael, they still don't need to be mitered if they go into the chutzlaret. So because most of the things are sold to goyim, they're relying on that. The mitzvah, most of the poskim, almost all, with the exception of the Maharsham perhaps, are the opinion that things which are nigmar in Eretz Yisrael, which is the case of things which are exported and bought by airplanes, they do need to be mitered by us. A few years ago, it used to be that most things came by ship, in which case they ripened on the boat. That was already a different matter, that was already much easier. But in the situation today, when there are things which are like that, some are like that, and none of us can know the difference, we don't have to meister. Comes out very interesting. It's an ironic situation. Tosfos at the end of Ketubos brings up Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, who says that nowadays one should not live in Eretz Yisrael. That's his opinion, because it's very hard to keep mitzvahs after Rosh Chodesh. Now, if you live in Eretz Yisrael today, you have no problem. All the Kashrus organizations, if you rely buy something with a reliable hechsher, you have no problem. You can rely that things are meistered. Here in Chutz Laaretz, here's where we have our problems. And I'm not saying this in order just to encourage you to come out and live in Eretz Yisrael. We'll leave that to the Jewish agency. But what we do have to do is to be very careful. If Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen considered it so important that it's worth being mevatel the mitzvah of going to live in Eretz Yisrael in order to not be over any problems with the hafroshes of Trumas HaMaaser, so definitely we should be very careful. So then, the instructions are very simple. How to take Trumas HaMaaser, those who are part of Keren HaMaaser and don't have to worry about their own coin, there definitely are just very few simple instructions. But anybody who's got a machine knows that if you just try and follow instructions and don't understand what you're doing, you're very likely to get things wrong. So therefore, it's very much worth our while understanding what is actually going on when we're taking Trumas HaMaaser. Besides the fact that it's something which a Yid comes every day to learn in the start of the day to take away, should definitely know what are we doing. I'm going to go right back to the basics. I'm going to ask Mechid for those who it's possible that they should also, hopefully there will be some chidushin to them as well. What are the hafroshes? There are four hafroshes which have to be taken. Two trumas and two maestros. The order is Markov, according to some. Chazanish says that if one does it not in the correct order, one is over and loisase of meleoscho v'timacho loisacher. The order does matter. The order is truma meister, truma meister. Simple to remember. Truma gedola, the meisterishin, truma meister, and then meister sheni. Most years. Do that one by one. Truma gedola. The first thing, truma gedola, a person has to take off a mashahu off what they've got. The tefillah which they've got. Midoraisa, all you need to take out is a mashahu. Well, it says, chitta achas peteres asakri. One little grain can patter the whole pile. Midrabonon, they said, says the shia. 40th for somebody is more generous, the 50th for average, the 60th for somebody is less generous. That is Midrabonon. Lemaisa, now that we don't give our Truma Gedolah to a Kohen, the Rambam already says that one does not have these shiurim. So we're back to the Raya Tzedikah situation of giving a master the word Shalom Gdolah. What's the din of Shalom Gdolah? I have to go to the Kohen, and it's got two dinim implying to it. Number one, it can only be eaten, it's got the Kedusha that it can only be eaten by the Kohen or his family, with Avodim. Number two, it must be eaten the Tahara. The Kohen has to be Tohim, Kohen eats it, and the food itself has to be Tohim. That's Shalom Gdolah. Number two, after Shalom Gdolah, one takes from what's left, Maisa. Maisa, as its name applies, is a tenth. A tenth of the produce one takes and gives it to the lady. It has no kedusha. As opposed to Shalom Gdolah, it can be eaten by anyone, the lady can share it with whoever he wants, and it can be eaten even the truma. And that's most of the Maisa. From that Maisa, one has to take a truma. The truma, Trumas Maisa. What's Trumas Maisa? Trumas Maisa, the Torah calls it Maisa Min HaMaisa. Trumas Maisa is Rosh Hashanah Chazal. The Torah calls it Maisa Min HaMaisa. It's a tenth of the tenth, in other words, a hundredth of what you've got there. That the Levi separates, and that goes to the Kohen, and that has exactly the same Kedusha as Truma Gedolah. Again, eaten only by the Kohen and his family and the Tahara. That's it. We've got Truma Gedolah, Maaser Rishon, Trumas Maaser, and now the very last thing is Maaser Sheni or Maaser Oni, depending on which year one is in, the first, the second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, one gives Maaser Sheni, and in the third one and the sixth one, one gives Maaser Oni. The Shemitah is a different story because everything's Hefka. Ordinarily, there's no Hafroshes in Shemitah at all. Maaser Oni, the years of Maaser Oni, that's very simple. Give it to the Oni, has no Kedusha. The Oni can share it with whoever he wants. Maaser Sheni has a Kedusha. Its Kedusha requires that it be eaten in Yerushalayim. That's the basic din of the Hafroshes, as it was done when things are normal, when there's a bit of Mikdash, there's Tarab, there's Yichus, but lots has changed. And it worked out that in all of them, some things changed. And we'll go through each one what has changed. For simplicity's sake, we're going to go backwards through it. But Maaser Oni actually is the most difficult one, and it's beyond the scope of this year, why we here in Chutzlot at least don't give Maaser Oni to Aniyim. Simply speaking, at least in Eretz Yisrael one should, but we'll leave that aside. Maaser Sheni. So Maaser Sheni has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. What happens nowadays? So the Gemara in Tzmura brings a brisa that Darshans learned out of Bechoy that Maaser Sheni can only be eaten in Yerushalayim b'tnei habayis, when there's a Beit HaMikdash. But now that there's no Beit HaMikdash, Maaser Sheni cannot be eaten in Yerushalayim. So what can we do with it? You have to separate it. What can you do with it? Well, we all know that Maaser Sheni, one can be Machalo on Temani. That means in the time of the Beit HaMikdash already, if somebody lived too far away from Yerushalayim and it was too hard for him to take it, so he had to be machalal it onto a koyin, onto money, koyins, and take those koyins to Yerushalayim, and there in Yerushalayim he would buy food and eat it in Yerushalayim. We can't take our koyins to Yerushalayim to eat there, but we can redeem our Maaser Sheni onto koyins. So you say, how much do we have to redeem it onto? Because that's a lot. So here we come on to, you can call it a legal loophole. What happens? This man, of course there was a chiv to redeem your Maaser Sheni onto its value. But what would happen if somebody didn't redeem onto its value? If somebody redeemed it onto much less than its value. So there's a klal, the rule that ein oino b'hekdeshes. The din oino, that means normally if somebody buys something for much less than its value, significantly less than its value, the sale is annulled, With hektish, that doesn't apply. So if somebody has hektish, which has to be redeemed onto money, or Ma'aseh Sheni is the same din, and he redeems it onto much less than its value, what's redeemed is redeemed. So it would be forbidden for somebody to do that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but somebody did it. If somebody would redeem his Ma'aseh Sheni onto a smallest amount, a smallest coin, it would work. Says the Rambam, nowadays, when anyway we can't bring our Ma'aseh Sheni to Yerushalayim, so why redeem it onto its value and waste all the money? We are now in a b'dieved dicky situation. We're in a situation where it's impossible to ask of people to waste so much money, and therefore we go lachatchila and we redeem our Ma'aseh Sheni onto a smallest amount. After why nowadays we redeem our Ma'aseh Sheni, we have to be mafrish our Ma'aseh Sheni, we have to declare where our Ma'aseh Sheni is, then we can redeem it all onto the smallest amount of money. What's the smallest amount of money? So in the days of Chazal, the smallest amount of money which had any significance was a pruta. Nowadays, you can say that a pruta doesn't have any significance. A pruta nowadays, it's a 40th of a gram of silver. It's, despite the fact that in the last few years the price of silver has more than doubled, it's still something like 2/3 of a penny is a pruta nowadays. I wouldn't call it significant, but it doesn't matter. It depended on how it was in the time of Chazal. In the time of Chazal, a pruta was a decent amount of money, and that is the minimum amount which is considered something. Therefore, if somebody redeems his Ma'aseh Sheni onto a pruta, already in those days, in the time of Chazal, it would work, and nowadays, that's the lachatchila what we do. We redeem our Ma'aseh Sheni onto a pruta. That's Ma'aseh Sheni. Then, let's go backwards to the Master Rishon. Master Rishon has to be given to the lady. So it has to be separated, given to the lady. What about nowadays? What's changed? We don't give it to to a lady. Because we have a cloud. Hamotzi mechaveiroi olav araya. If a lady would come and ask me for my Master Rishon, I'll say to him, bring me a raya, you're a lady. They say, what do you mean? I've got a chazaka that I'm a lady. They call me up for levy every week. So I say to him, very nice, a chazaka helps you for being called up, and I'm pleased asking no gabba to give away his levy aliyah, but to be moitzi money, you need a raya. A raya, if you look at Rashi all over the shop, Rashi always says, all of a raya but edim. There's nobody who nowadays who has edim, has real full proof that he's a levy. Therefore, if a levy wants the Master Rishon, you cannot have it. So I have to separate my Master Rishon, and since there's no lady to have it, I can have it myself. It has no Kedusha, and therefore we can eat it ourselves. So that's Master Sheni dealt with, Master Rishon, and we're left with the Trumas Maisa and the Truma Gedoyla. Those two things, they have Kedusha, and they have to be eaten by a Kohen Betaro. Now, even if you would say that a Kohen with a Chazaka could eat it, and it's possible that Truma Drabonon, a Kohen with a Chazaka, would be allowed to eat, but that would only be if you find me a Kohen who's absolutely Tohiv, which means that he hasn't touched a Keli which was in an Oil HaMace, or which touched a Mace, because if he has, then he needs Paraduma, and we don't have that nowadays. Also, the food has to be absolutely Tohiv. So basically, it's an impossible situation. You can't have any Kohen nowadays eating a truma. On the other hand, the truma, which has been separated, does have its kedusha. So therefore, we're going to have to separate it, and it can't be eaten by anyone. But let's work it out. How much is there that has to be separated and not be eaten by anyone? So what have we got? We've got Truma Gedoyla, which is a Mashehu, and Truma Smaisa, which is a hundredth of the total. In other words, slightly more than 100th. And that's the situation which we have it. When we take our Truma Smaisa, we have to separate slightly more than 100th. If you gave these things out, if you look on the third page, you can see I've got a diagram there. The A is comprised of two parts. The A1 is a Masrihu Truma Gedolah. Then the Maaser Rishon was a tenth, which was B1 plus the A2. That was all the Maaser Rishon. That was separated. From that, the A2, right, which is a hundredth of the total, is taken out as Truma Tumas Maaser. And that joins the A1 there, that joins that bit, the little bit extra over and above a hundredth, which must not be eaten. The B1, that 900th may be eaten. Then at the bottom of the chart there, you've got the tenth of the rest, right, which is 9 parts of a hundred, which is the Maaser Sheni. That is separated, and one can redeem it. So, there's one more thing which makes everything much simpler. Hafrosha. Literally, one translates hafrosha as separation. Does the separation have to be made physically? Or is it enough not to separate? Say the poskim that it's not necessary to separate. It's enough to designate. If one says that I'm going to make that part in a certain part of the food, Maaser Rishon, it's worked. I've designated that part of Maaser Rishon, that becomes Maaser Rishon, and I've taken my Maaser Rishon. What happens to it? I can eat it myself, because I don't need to give it to the lady, I can eat it myself. The Maaser Sheni, I take another part, make that Maaser Sheni, and then, what can I do with that? Redeem it onto my Prota, and I can eat it. The only part which does have to be separated physically, that's what we've written here as the A, that's the bit more than a hundredth, which is Truma Gedolah and Truma Maaser. So, having said all that, I think we're ready to have a look at the Nusach, which is in the back page here, and have a basic understanding of what's going on here. This Nusach is basically the Chazmish Nusach. That means like this. We've separated a hundredth plus a bit more. Now, we're not ready to deal with a hundredth yet, because we have to go in order. The hundredth is going to be the Trumas Maaser, and that is only the third one. We're only up to the stage of Truma Gedolah. So we are now dealing with that which is over and above the hundredth. That little bit extra, which is over and above. If we've separated a hundredth, you've got it on the side, a bit more than a hundredth, sorry, and we've got it on the side, now we say, whatever is over and above the hundredth, which I've got here, and I specify the part of the north of it, which direction is the north? I don't know, I've got the food here on the side, and I don't know which direction is the north, makes no difference, I don't need to know. There is a side which is the north of this. Wherever that north is, there should be chal the Truma Gedolah, on that which is over and above. In other words, I'm leaving my 100th exactly for Truma Maaser in a minute. Now I'm making the rest of it on the north part, I'm making that Truma Gedolah. So that's it. Hayotze me'echad me'meh she'eshkan. That which is over and above the 100th, which I've got here, haru Truma Gedolah, besad tefoinoi, on the north side of this piece. That's Truma Gedolah dealt with. Now, I've got to take, before I can take Truma Maaser from the 100th which I've separated, I've got to first take Maaser from it, plus 9 parts left of the food. So I've got to designate the 9 parts as Maaser Rishon, and the 10th part of Maaser Rishon is going to be that bit in the food. So we say, Oisei Echad Memeah Sheyesh Kam, that hundredth here, that means the rest which is left after I've taken Trumas Maaser, the Oisei Shechalokim Kamoisoi, and another 9 parts on the Tzad Tzopin Shel HaPeiros, on the north of the Peiros, That means I just decided north, wherever the north is, that's Ma'aser Rishon. So I made my Ma'aser Rishon with a tenth of the whole thing, 10 parts of 100, and now I can separate from that Ma'aser Rishon the Trumas Ma'aser. You know, where do I take my Trumas Ma'aser from? The bit which is already on the side. The leftover, which I've left on the side, after I've taken Truma Gedolah from it, I make that Trumas Ma'aser. And that's the continuation. Oysi Echad Nemeyah, Sha'asizim Ma'aser Rishon, Oysi Trumas Ma'aser. That bit should be Trumas Ma'aser. So now, I've separated my Truma and my Trumas Ma'aser. The Ma'aser Rishon, the rest of the Ma'aser Rishon, 9 parts of 10 of the Ma'aser Rishon is now left in the food, and I can eat it. I don't need to give it to the Kohen. I can eat it. So we've finished with Truma Gedolah, Ma'aser Rishon, and Trumas Ma'aser. What do I need to do with the Truma Gedolah and the Trumas Ma'aser? Nobody can eat it, because it has to be eaten with Tara. Therefore, what do? We wrap it up respectfully and throw it in the bin. That's all we have to do with it. What are we left with? What are we left to do? To take Ma'aser Sheni or Ma'aser Oni. So either way, I designate Ma'aser Sheni or Ma'aser Oni on the other side of the fruit, wherever it is, on the south side of the fruit. Continue. Ma'aser Sheni b'tzadorim shelach eiros. Or we're in Torech Ma'aser Oni, yeah, Ma'aser Oni b'tzadorim shelach eiros. Whether it's Ma'aser Sheni or Ma'aser Oni, depending on which year. This year happens to be the 6th year, it's the year of Ma'aser Oni, but probably most of the things that we have nowadays are still from the 5th year, so there's still Ma'aser Sheni to be taken from them. We don't need to know. If it's Ma'aser Sheni, it should be Ma'aser Sheni. If it's Ma'aser Oni, it should be Ma'aser Oni. Now, if it's Ma'aser Oni, as we said before, we don't give our Ma'aser Oni to the poor people. If it's Ma'aser Sheni, now I need to redeem it. So, if one has one's own coin, one redeems it on the foot of one's own coin. If you're making use of the coin of Keren Amaisa to Anglia, then you continue. And this is the nusach which you've got in front of you. Now the Ma'aser Sheni, Yehim Achulal al Pruta Ba'Mafter Shel Keren Amaisa to Anglia. It should be redeemed onto a Pruta of Keren Amaisa's coin, which is in my house. One more thing is left here. That is the years. It's like this. Very nice, we dealt with all the afroshes. But we all know that there's a din of Orla. The first 3 years, there's Orla. And Orla is the produce of trees, fruit, in the first 3 years, and Orla cannot be eaten. It's a big problem nowadays, because it's very hard to tell where Orla. Once upon a time, a tree started growing from nothing, and in the first 3 years there wasn't very much fruit produced. Nowadays, they do all sorts of methods, grafting and all sorts of things, that fruits are produced immediately from when a tree is become into existence. And therefore, nowadays, we have a lot of problems of Orla. And therefore, it's something one has to know. Again, vegetables have no problem. There's no order with vegetables. Vegetables, the only thing one can buy vegetables, the red vegetables without any problems, as long as you take trumatomitis. Fruit, one does have to inquire as to whether there's a problem of Orla, and this thing's it's a changing market, and one has to find out. What about the fourth year though? The fourth year is Ravoy. The fourth year, the produce of the fourth year has the same din as Ma'aser Sheni, eaten in Yerushalayim, and if one wants, one can redeem it onto a coin. So therefore, again, this is the very end of the nusach here. If there is ravoi in this fruit in front of me, yehem chulul al prutaba b'mapea, I should be redeemed on the pruta in the mapea. One small detail I just want to mention. Very often happens, a person could have less than a pruta's worth of produce. When would this happen? It happens if somebody is worried about, let's say you've got orange juice. Now, there's probably to Paskin that one doesn't have to take tomatomyces from oranges because one can go after roiz. Roiz and the things in the world are not from Etisrol. However, there are people who want to be machmir, there are rabbonim who are machmir, and say, once you take, you never know, you say, take tomatomyces from orange juices, let's say, and other such things. Somebody who does. What happens if he's got less than a pruta's worth of kedusha in his thing? Ma'aseh she'ini is a tenth of what he's got there, and he wants to be mechalel it onto a kohen. The problem is that a kohen cannot contain less kedusha than a pruta. If you try and redeem less than a pruta's worth of kedusha onto one kohen, the coin just doesn't take less than a pruta's worth. Either giving a pruta or nothing. Therefore, one has to make sure that the coin which one uses for such redemption, such chilulim, has a pruta's worth of kedusha in it beforehand. That is one of the reasons, one of the advantages of using a keren ha'maaseh, because our coins do have kedusha and has the highest degree of kedusha, to make sure that anything that comes in is always coming onto a coin which has kedusha on it. So that way it's when it's safe. I just want to take you over time. I just want to say one little inspiration which comes out of this whole thing. And it's got a kesher to Shavuos. Think what a yid can do. With a few words, we're able to put kedusha in food. And we've seen it, three different levels of kedusha, Ma'aser Rishon, Ma'aser Sheni, Truma, onto what? Onto a little bit of food. Little food, a bit of gashmi stick of food. And we're not talking about hektish. Hektish means that I'm going to take, say, a grob of cow, and make this thing hektish, with all the dinim of hektish. That's what Yitzchak is nizkach to be able to do. How much more so do we have this power to put kedusha into ourselves? We have got a neshama chelik elakam imal. We do a mitzvah, and we say, "Hashem, the shonu b'mitzvosof." The Bnei Yisrael gave us mitzvahs, and those mitzvahs put kedusha into ourselves. How great is our power to be able to put kedusha into ourselves? If we think of the mitzvahs which we have done this morning, since we got up in the morning, from Tilak Kedayim and Tzitzis and two tefillins and Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, and probably most people have done a chesed or two this morning with Tzedakah, and Al Kulam learning and coming here to learn. The amount of kedusha which we've done in the couple of hours which we've been awake this morning, it's phenomenal. Phenomenal to think about it, and how much in the whole day and in the whole year. Said Rav Yosef in the Gemara in Pesachim, the Samach Ches, he says, "Please," he says to his family, "would you prepare for me for Shavuot an Egla Pilsa, the very, very best meat? I really want to celebrate Shavuot." Why? Because he said, "Ilav ha yoyimah the kagorim, we're not for the thing which has been caused from today. Kama Yosef Ike Beshuka." There's plenty of people in the street called the Yosefs. But me, I feel that Shavuot has caused me to be, Rav says, this day has caused me to learn Torah and Nisraimanti. But Yosef probably was able to estimate the amount of Kedusha which he felt that it got inside himself, something which we can't do. And he sat back on Shavuot and said, "Look what's happened to me since last year. Look what Shavuot has caused. I've got so much more kedusha than I would have had I been a simple Yosef in the street without Shavuos." That's the answer for Shavuos, the kedusha which we've got inside us. More and more and more kedusha which we have from each mitzvah which we're able to perform. That's the simcha of Shavuos. We should be zeicher, Hashem, to be simchah and shavuos, and to be mitayim all the mitzvahs, and especially these mitzvahs of today's bar, property.